right, Calvary, good morning. Today's great. You know why? It's a shorter message, so you can get out to the lobby. That's a gift for you. All right, my name is Thomas. I'm on staff here at the church. It's my joy to be able to open the scriptures with you. I know this week many of you are starting back at school. What? Who's excited? I hope you are. Moms are raising their hand. I love it. Whether you're starting back at school in elementary or middle or high school, perhaps you're going to be returning to college or doing one of those grades for the first time, but we're just really excited for you. We know it's a lot of emotion for people stepping into those new grades of like ninth grade or sixth grade for the very first time or going off to college. And maybe August is not a new start for you. Maybe it's just like Monday's tomorrow, but perhaps you have new projects, new assignments, new tasks that you're excited to be doing this fall. For some reason, the fall seems kind of like another start as January is to the year. August seems like another beginning place. And I don't know if that is for you or not, but wherever you find yourself in life, I believe that this text wants to help inform and shape how you live there. So whether you're a student, whether you're a retiree, whether you are just really, really young in this room or you feel like you're very, very old in this room, there's something in this text for everybody. For in it, we see the gospel story and our identity and our task. We're celebrating 135 years of God's faithfulness to Calvary, and we're just simply saying, how do we respond to that kind of goodness, to that kind of faithfulness? How do we continue to be faithful? And so I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So grab your Bible, fire up your iPads. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 14. In a few weeks, we're going to start a really long series that's going to take us all the way through the fall to Easter of next year through the book of 1 Corinthians. But we're going to dive in here, the second letter that Paul wrote to this church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Paul says this, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the gospel story. Gospel means good news. Christians hold the gospel. They share the gospel, the good news of what God has done. This is God's story. We're just simply witnesses to it, messengers of it. This was God initiated. No one created this. No one thought this would be a good idea. This is simply received from God. Let me show you the gospel story in which God did from this text. Look at verse 18. We'll start there. We'll kind of poke around a little bit. It says, "All this is from God." Like, God thought it would be a really good idea to send a rescuer into the world. It was in God's mind, in his heart, to save humanity. All this is from God. And the mechanism for that to happen, the channel, the means of the gospel is through Christ. Do you see that here? It's from God. How do you receive it from God? It's through his son, Jesus Christ. He's the only sufficient savior. For he, look at verse 14, died for all. He laid his life down for anyone who would receive him. He died for all because all need to be saved. There's not a single person on the planet that does not need to be forgiven. to be reconciled with God. He died for all. And when did he die? When we had all our life together? When we were looking really good? When we deserved it? No, when Paul writes to another church in Rome, this is Romans chapter 5, he says, okay, we can imagine someone would die for a good person, perhaps a righteous person, but God demonstrates his love for us. Like, what's in God's mind? Through Christ, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, enemies of God, adversarial, resisting him, not wanting him to be in our life, at that moment, Christ died for us. That's a demonstration of what God has in his mind through Christ for us, that while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. And he says in verse 17, bringing us into his new work of creation. That God's doing something altogether new. From what you've experienced and all the brokenness of the world, God is going to do a repairing new work that lasts through eternity. In the end of Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. And it begins with you. Jesus makes all things new, and he begins with you, with the people in the world, to renew them and invite them into a new creation that lasts now, or begins now, and lasts forever. Verse 18, he reconciled us to God. Have you ever experienced a fracturing relationship that was so dear to you? I mean, like, best friend. Maybe it's even in a marriage between you and your parents or a sibling. Someone that was so close. It was like you were inseparable, made for one another. And then there was an offense that was done. And it just blew this thing up. How do you come back together? How is someone reconciled? Well, an offense has to be made right. What was done that was wrong has to be corrected. That's what Christ did. We were made to live with our Creator. And because of our sin, that relationship is fractured. And in order to be brought back together, reconciliation is necessary. Wrongs have to be made right. And that's what he did. He reconciled us to God in verse 18. Verse 19, how does he do that? Not counting their trespasses against them. Not counting our sins against us. How's that possible? How do you forgive what we've done? Well, it's here in verse 21. For our sake. Why did he do this? It's for our sake. In his mind, through Christ, for our good. That's God who's thinking about you. In his mind, through his son, for our good, for our sake. He made him who knew no sin. Jesus doesn't know what it is to lie, to cheat, to steal, to gossip, to betray. He's never done any of those things. He who knew no sin, he's pure, he's right. He who knew no sin became sin. So that, why does Jesus do that? Why does he take our sin on us? So that we might become something we could not become apart from him. The righteousness of God means we're brought back into right relationship. The righteousness of God is right relationship, being right, being just once again. The legal term for that is justified. He looks at our trespasses, looks at our sin, takes it upon himself, crucified on the cross, so that we would be justified, just if I'd never sinned in the first place. Brought back into right relationship, reconciled. That's what God did. And Jesus is the only means, the only possible Savior. He's the only one that offers forgiveness of sins and the reconciliation with God, eternal life, not by your works, but by another. There is no one else in the world that offers forgiveness of sins and you to be made right, not by your works, but by another. That's why Jesus is the only means of salvation. He's the only one that can do it. Now, what's our response to that? It's like, wow, we were in the mind of God through his son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile us and bring us home. What do we do with that? Well, this text, I think, has three things. What's a faithful response to that? Is that we have a new affection in our life. We have a new identity, and we live on a new mission. Those are three things that are a faithful response that we would want to have at Calvary Bible Church, to look at a new affection, a new identity, and a new mission. Look here for a new affection. Paul opens by saying, for the love of Christ controls us. Like, you can be on mission for a lot of things, for a lot of different reasons. Paul is controlled, motivated, not by selfish gain, not to become a great influencer for his own name, not to create his own brand, not self-seeking, not out of fear, not out of anger. He says it's the love of Christ. It's like, got a hold of me. I've experienced this, and it controls what I'm doing. Now, this is radically different than many Christians and how many Christians live, out of a different motivation. Is that the love of Christ? He has a new affection here. You guys remember the movie Saving Private Ryan? Raise your hand if you ever saw Saving Private Ryan. If you never saw the movie and you want to see it, spoiler alert, they save him. But Private Ryan is one of several sons that are fighting in World War II, and all of his brothers have died, and they've notified the mom, and for just the love of the mother, they're going to go in and find Private Ryan, who parachuted in on D-Day, and he's kind of dispersed through France. They're going to find him, and they're going to bring him home so mom doesn't lose all of her sons in war. So Captain Miller is tasked with his company to go find Ryan and then to bring him home. And the story is them finding Ryan and the casualty it takes on their own company to find him. And at the very end, like, I think the whole company has really died, and Miller at the very end has taken a shot to the chest, and he's dying on this bridge. But you can see that the story is coming to a conclusion that Ryan's going to be safe, and he's going to be able to make it home and see his mom. And Miller, this captain who has experienced the casualty and the life that's been given for Ryan, brings him in near. And do you remember what he says to him? He says, earn this. Earn this. And the end of the movie is Ryan at an elderly age with his wife and kids and grandchildren and their graveside of Miller. And he's just weeping. And he asks his wife, did I earn this? Like, was I a good enough father? Was I a good enough husband? Have I done enough good in my life to have earned the sacrifice for me? That's not what Jesus is asking you to do. Can you imagine the weight on his shoulders for his whole life? Earn this. Pay it back. Prove you were worthy. Jesus says, man, I love you. You weren't worthy. Controlled by the love of Christ, I'm compelled to have a new affection. So I just love Christ because I'm just so loved. See, the only way to live the Christian life is from a place of being loved. What a wonderful starting place. That God asks of you to receive his love so that from that place of being loved, you're controlled with a new affection. What's that new affection? Well, you see it here in 2 Corinthians. The new affection says that those who live, who have tasted what God has done, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Not to earn it, not to prove it, but out of a new affection. I'm this loved, his love now controls me. Now that's countercultural to today. The world today is like, it's all about you. Your greatest affection is you, your passions, your desires. And I hope many of the things that we pursue come true. Many of the things that we dream about and desire in life, absolutely, those are good things. What Paul's saying is, it's not my main affection. My main affection is not me and my happiness and my life. It's actually to live towards the one who gave his life up for me. He's the centerpiece of it all. You see here, Christ died for all so that those who live might die to themselves. John Calvin calls, or is referred to as the double death. And Calvin says, God died for us so that we might die to ourselves. Like, there's a death that we have to experience, but it's to ourselves. And so that Christ is our primary affection, not to earn it, not to prove it, because we've experienced it. We've tasted it. And oh, it is so good. The second is this, a new identity is rooted in the new creation. Here, Paul again, it says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Like, what does the world value? What does the world think about? What does the world think is important? He says, all that's passing away. We used to view Christ this way. Remember how Isaiah viewed that of Christ? It's like he's despised. He's rejected by man. There's nothing about his appearance that would draw you to him. You'd say, oh, who cares about Christ? He's just a carpenter. Say, oh, but the resurrection changes everything. there's a new creation. And so we don't even view Christ in just flesh terms, the temporary, but what God is doing in a new creation. Remember, making all things new, starting with you. And so we live into that reality, say, we know what God's gonna do. He's gonna reconcile people. He's gonna bring forgiveness. And so we choose as new creation to live into that reality now. Now. I know where this is going. Why would I hold a grudge if God's not gonna hold a grudge in eternity? I'm just gonna choose to live as a member of the new creation, the new kingdom now. And so that's where we are as new identity. So it's amazing that whatever you were before Christ, whatever you did before Christ, that has been forgiven and removed from you. There's no condemnation in Christ. He doesn't bring any of that back up. He says, all I see now is my son's work in you. And I see you as a member of the things that I am beginning to do now that will last forever. And so that's the identity we live out of the new creation identity. And then thirdly, you see this, it's a new mission. There's a mission given to us. Do you ever ask yourself, why isn't God beaming me up to heaven? Like I accepted Jesus. Jesus was to get me to heaven. How come I don't go to heaven now? He's like, I got work for you to do. There's a mission that I want you to participate in. Remember, in the mind of God through Christ, and you're invited to be part of the work that God's doing. And so here, verse 18, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. There's a ministry of reconciliation, bringing estranged parties back together, first and foremost with God and humanity and with each other, and it's gifted to us. So wherever the Christian sees division, we have the ministry of reconciliation. If you see division racially, our ministry is reconciliation. You see division socioeconomically, our ministry is reconciliation. You see division between men and women, our ministry is reconciliation. But the greatest reconciliation that we have is to come to people and say, be reconciled to God. There is a way to be reconnected to the creator of the universe who made you, who loves you, who died for you. It was in the mind of God through the Son of God. That's the means, and we're the messengers of that. And so wherever we go, whether we're jumping back into high school, middle school, going off to college, if we're retirees in a neighborhood, it doesn't matter. The Lord has kept you here that you might be a messenger of reconciliation. You see what he says? As though he's going to make his appeal through you. Look at this. Verse 19, that is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors are chosen members to be in an envoy deployed to a foreign country on behalf of a country. God says, I want to make my message known through those who have tasted my goodness. I'm going to deploy them into the world, into a foreign country, that they might be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom economy? What is the blessing of the kingdom? How do kingdom people live? What does forgiveness look like? What does generosity look like? Go be my ambassadors with the message of reconciliation. Isn't it amazing that he chooses us? You're like, Lord, if you're going to choose someone to speak on behalf of the kingdom of God, like this group, me? Like we fumble the ball all the time. It feels like two steps forward, one step back, off to the left, off to the right. I'm prone to wander. Why us? I love that he chose us. It's the weak things of the world and the foolish things of the world. Why? So that Christ would be famous, not us. So the world would know God doesn't save perfect people who have all their life together. God saves sinners trying to put it all together. What great news is that? That he uses you and he uses me as the evidence of reconciliation. And so we are to live such lives. We can't convince anyone, but live such lives that are compelling to the world to be reconciled to God. And so we live as ambassadors of Christ. And so whatever arena we're living in, I think these are the things that God says, this is what it looks like when someone experiences the love of God. They're controlled by the love of Christ. They have a new affection. They're not the primary affection in their life. God is. They have a new identity. They're living into a totally different reality of where this world is going forever. And they live on mission, that no matter where God has placed you, I have a message to share and I have a work to do as an ambassador of the kingdom. And I think I see this in our community, and I think I see this so many places around the world. And the invitation is for you to be drawn into it in this community. I've been watching the Olympics. I bet you guys have been watching the Olympics. One of my favorite Olympic stories came from a teenage Brazilian girl named Reza Leal. She won bronze in skateboarding. Now, in France, it is illegal to wear any religious garb or symbolism. So no, like, Star of David, no cross. You can't wear any of that in public government or in school. And they extended that same rule to all the Olympic athletes as they were on mission from their government to France. And so there's no iconography happening with any athletes. And this teenage girl, she's won bronze. This is awesome. Think about the life work, how excited she's there. She's an ambassador for Brazil. She's an ambassador as an Olympian. She's an ambassador as a skateboarder. She's an ambassador for young girls to see what they can do as well. And the camera is on her. Like, you're awesome! And she signs in American Sign Language, Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life. That's awesome. It's like, just think about this young girl and the heart that she has, like high school students. Like she's awesome. She's won bronze. She's achieving a goal that she wants, and she has a greater affection. And she knows her new identity. And she knows the mission that God has for her and all the goodness of skateboarding, absolutely. But to tell the world, in my moment, Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life. That's great. That's what it means to make spiritual things natural and natural things spiritual, to bring people into the gospel story. I think of the Calvary missionaries that we have sent out from Erie, from Boulder and Thornton, that are around the globe in China, that are over in Bangladesh, that are in Uganda, that are in Haiti, our partners in El Salvador, Nicaragua. I think of our friends that we've had in South Sudan. All of these different places that men and women, married and single, have said, I just catch a vision for my life. And I want to go to gospel-deprived areas. They don't have churches like Calvary, and I want to tell the gospel, be reconciled to Christ. God had you in his mind through Jesus to be saved. I think of our local mission team. I think of Dr. Stites, who has been taking teams of people from Calvary, hundreds of people down the Amazon River for the last 20-plus years. I think of Christina Carter, who's leading Asmira, a mission that she began incorporating women from Calvary here in the States, going all over the world to do retreats and respite care for women who are serving on the front lines, that they would be healed, restored, encouraged, resent back out to their area of mission with joy and enthusiasm. I think of all the ways in which we serve globally, but then also locally. I think of the ways in which you have welcomed refugees into Colorado. Like, the nations have come and said, okay, I want to help them find housing, find employment, get their kids enrolled in school, get medical care, dental work. I want to make sure that they know English, can navigate the world they find themselves in, and then I want to help them see the gospel story. There's a community of believers that are demonstrating the love of God to them. I think of the ways in which we serve here locally with widows and single moms and single dads, to care for those in vulnerable situations, to feed those who are hungry this over the long weekends of school, that we would supply food for them, that you participate in. I think of so many individuals. I think of Rachel Bates, who started Beauties, that young girls would know their true identity and where their real beauty comes from, to be built up in the strength of Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think of the workers that serve in Calvary Kids on Sunday mornings. I think of those who serve in middle school and high school, the faithful ones who are taking people out in the wilderness to care for them on the trail and help them to see the God who made the wilderness. Like, we're doing this together. And so the expo is simply a time in which we display some of the things that are happening at Calvary, men's, women's, kids, students, 55 plus, here locally and abroad, and saying, hey, are you in the flow? Don't the invitation
is to come to Calvary, but don't remain in the seats on Sunday. Like, we gather so that we scatter with the message of reconciliation. And so are you in the flow of a community that has an affection for Christ, has a new identity, that has a mission to let the world know what God has done? And so out in the expo, this isn't the opportunity for you to serve like the 12th time, but it's an opportunity for you, if you haven't jumped into the flow of Calvary, to say, okay, this is a place where I think I could belong and to serve, because this is a community, a light set on a hill to share the gospel message here locally and abroad. That's what we want to do. We want to continue to do those things. One that's particularly on my heart, is this last thing, and then I'll let us go, is I love young parents. And we say parents are prime here at Calvary. We believe in the family. We believe that the family raises the next generation to know and love God and love others. And so we want to invest in parents. So we have a parenting class this fall. There's already like 150 plus young parents that are signed up to talk about how to raise their kids, how to connect with their kids, screens, technology, how do you bring about obedience and character, and also talk about marriage as well. And if you're a young parent and you haven't signed up for that, there are spots for that. But we have almost 150 young kids coming here on Monday night, and we need 20 more people to be able to care for these kids that are coming, that their parents might engage with some instruction of how to raise a family that has affections towards Christ, has an identity rooted in what God's doing, and to live on mission. So if you're able to help me out, I would love that help. You can find all those details at Calvary Kids Table. But let's all stand as we conclude, and we're heading out. There's no guilt here. This is, if you've tasted the goodness of God and the love of Christ compels you, an opportunity to step into the flow here of what God's up to. Father, we pray for us as a community. Father, keep us humble, keep us honest, and keep us hungry for you. Father, we pray that our primary affections would be for you, Lord. We pray that we would live out of a new identity, not our old. And Father, we pray that wherever we get scattered this week, back into our schools, back to work, back into our communities, back into sports teams, may we have in our mind that we've been entrusted the message of reconciliation and that we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.